Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we will dive into the career of Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed Johnson, Mo Adib, Tony Norris, Big T.
Did you see some of the other names they had listed on his Wikipedia? Because like those are the names that we're actually going to cover this week.
Is it like Kobe Wade?
It's not. There's three missing. One is Siva.
Oh, what the fuck?
One is Black Superman, which is excellent. And one is Nightbreeder. Mm-hmm.
I thought Black Superman was going to take the cake.
Yeah, when I said three and then I had Black Superman second, that should have been a tell that it's going to get weirder. So we are going to look at the career of Ahmed Johnson, real name Anthony Norris, through five of his matches that cover a big stretch of his career. That's what we do here on Crossbody of Work. We talk about a wrestler through five of their matches. What do you know of Ahmed Johnson?
I know that he has like a weird, like people who were kids during the Attitude Era, like probably really liked him.
Oh yeah.
Like there's like a fondness that people have towards Ahmed Johnson, but there's also like a collective, yeah, this guy sucked at wrestling, but he had this thing about him that was like really like that drew people in. Also he got hurt a lot.
So I'm going to say that he didn't need to be good at wrestling in the way that some other wrestlers need to be good at wrestling, because he had some insane charisma. Ahmed Johnson could draw. Like, he could get you in.
I don't know, man. Is he just like, is this like Omos?
I mean, I'd say he's way more charismatic than Omos is.
I don't know, man. I mean, before they changed his music, my man Omos had me at the palm of his hand.
Yeah, I know you're an Omos sapien, but I think we're going to see that they never really needed Ahmed Johnson to be like a wrestler, a grappler, a technician, because that's just not what his thing. Like, how big you think he's listed at? Usual.
I mean, compared to the there's a match here he has, spoiler alert, the Road Warriors are involved, where he's shorter than them. So I'm assuming he's somewhere hovering around 6'2".
That's exactly right. 6'2", 305.
Damn.
He's a big, beefy guy. So a little bit about Anthony Norris. He was born in Kokomo, Indiana. Great name for a place. In Diana. But billed from Pearl River, Mississippi, because he would grow up in Auburn, Florida, and Pearl River, Mississippi before moving to Texas. He did join the Army. And this is directly from the Wikipedia, so maybe true, maybe not. But was later discharged due to striking his captain over what he called, quote, kind of cowardly orders. So his captain told him to not do something, and Norris decided, absolutely not. I want to do that thing.
You know, I thought this was, when you said he struck his captain, I was about to be like, oh, that dude probably said some racist shit or something.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Like,
cowardly orders?
Yeah.
The fuck apparently, does that even mean?
It means the captain was being a bitch. And so he was like, no. Like, none of that here.
Was he like, oh, clean my shoes? And then he was like, oh, we're not doing that.
All I know is that that was part of his early life before he went to join Skandor Akbar and train under him, Scott Casey, and Ivan Putski. That's where he was trained to be a professional wrestler. He made his debut in 1989 and did the independent circuit for a while. We're going to look at a match from the Global Wrestling Federation in 1993. Skandor Akbar is his manager, and he goes by the name of Mo Adib. It's a match of him versus Ricky Long. Now, you found the matches this week. How hard was it to find a Mo Adib match?
It wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but honestly, like, I just kind of Googled it. And you know what the real issue was, more than anything, was it kept auto-correcting the Google searches to Moab, like the mother of all bombs from Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
So it just kept getting, like, I just kept Googling it. I Googled Mo Adib matches, and it was like just fucking Call of Duty, like, Modern Warfare 3 compilations. And I was like, what is happening here?
Now, that does sound sick to watch. Don't get me wrong. If you had to watch
reviewed a couple of them.
If you're going to watch a gaming like compilation, what are you going to watch?
Oh my god, Modern Warfare 2 fucking no scopes for sniping compilations, or like, honestly, yeah, I think that's it. It's like that or like a Commando Pro like montage with the dude just like running around with the USP and a goddamn knife on it.
Yeah, that's fair. I love clips of people playing whatever that game is where you get to be like a piece of the furniture.
And oh, yeah. Like
that hide and seek game. I'm obsessed. I love that game.
Where like you're just in like a warehouse and like someone's the dude with the gun, and then you just have to figure out what.
Like, is there always three garbage cans here, or is one of them prop a dude?
Prop hunt. That's what it is. Prop hunt.
Prop hunt. Yeah. Shout out to prop hunt. All right. Moadib versus Ricky Long. Not a long match.
Ricky Long, I took one look at the guy. I was like, this is the most jobber looking jobber I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so this is a showcase for Moadib. What'd you think of this little showcase for him?
Yeah, Akbar cuts a heel promo on Ricky Long. And then Moadib before the match starts, is just he gets down on his knees, he gets a prayer.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can, hey, shout out, you know, if that's your deal, let you do that, I guess. And then the crowd is just booing him, and it's like
mercilessly.
It's like, oh, I didn't realize that we weren't allowed to pray nowadays, you know?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Again, it's always interesting to watch the 90s, and it's like, hey, he's different, boo. And now you see it now, and it just makes the skin crawl. You're like, oh, that's. That didn't age well at all.
At all. I mean, he probably still would get booed to this day. If I don't know where this is, but I'm assuming it's somewhere in the South. Yeah, definitely getting booed.
You know what else didn't age well? I don't know the exact specifics, but have you heard about the thing about there's a Muppets clip where they talk about how Kermit somehow caused 9/11?
I'm sorry, you said what now?
There is, I don't remember what the movie is.
Like an official Muppets.
So it's a theory, but there's reason for it. And it's like, somehow it came out after 9/11, but there was a showcase of like what the world would have been like if Kermit was not born. And it's a shot of New York City and the Twin Towers are there standing. And so it's like, then canonically Kermit being born somehow ties into 9/11 happening. So yeah, that's a fun nugget I wanted to give you during this episode.
So Akbar calls the crowd hypocrites for booing Moadib while he's praying, as he should. He's actually in the right on this one. And then the match starts, and look.
Domination.
What are your thoughts on Moadib as a wrestler?
Doesn't have to do a lot, because that's not his thing. He does like a shoulder block. He takes a bunch of shoulder blocks from Ricky Long, can't be moved. Drop kick. Does like a diving elbow from the top rope. Does a weird pinfall spot. A big full Nelson. And Ricky Long is, I assume, dead.
That slithering pin, like he just like slithers onto the... I was not expecting that at all.
That's out of pocket. I didn't expect that to happen. And all of a sudden, he's like a slip and slide happening.
It's just like, because look, the way I'm viewing him is essentially he's what Veer was last year. Or whatever that whole Veer thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, can you just imagine just randomly Veer is fucking up the Mysterios like he did for a while there before he got sent back down to NXT? And he just, like, Dom's just getting slithered on.
Don't like it. I don't like
it
at all.
It'd be weird. So it took me by surprise. I'm not going to lie to you.
Akbar pulls Moadib off of him. A babyface comes out who, by the way, sounds like his name was Gene Switzer.
I just know that they called him the Mercenary.
Great name.
I couldn't really... He looked a little bit like Abraham from The Walking Dead.
Yes. Yes, he did. That's a good shout.
And then he goes face-to-face with Moadib, but they don't touch.
Our next match is about a year later. We're in NWA Dallas. It's May 11th, 1994. And now he's no longer Moadib. Instead, he is Tony the Regulator Norris going up against Greg the Hammer Valentine. We get a promo from Tony Norris before the match talking about how Moadib is no more and how Akbar's a bum.
I couldn't really understand a word he was saying. I'm not going to lie.
He is just screaming a lot. But he did say that Tony Norris doesn't exist, or Moadib doesn't exist. He's just Tony Norris. Akbar's a bum. Valentine's a bum, too.
I like re-listened to it like three times. Could not figure out what the fuck he was saying.
This match has at least a little bit more to it because it's against Greg Valentine. That's a real person.
Yeah. Shout out to the Hammer. Hammer's wrestling in NWA Dallas at this time period. It's a little sad to see. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. So the actual match, the content, this talk about something that you liked from Norse here.
I liked that I thought his selling was pretty good here. Honestly, it's not what you would expect from an early career Ahmed Johnson match. Like even against Greg Valentine, you probably expect him to be on top for most of it.
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty even. There's a lot of catch can type of wrestling too, which is interesting. It's not great looking and it's very basic, but I mean,
no, it's fine
for what it is. It's fine, and it got a reaction from the crowd. The crowd's pretty hot for it.
Yeah. Like he gets a lot of the big man stuff. Like he gets a bunch of elbows thrown at him early. None of them fell him. Like he's fine. He tosses Valentine around a lot. And eventually there is some assistance from Akbar. He gets tripped running the ropes. Norris manages to get his hands on Akbar for a little bit. You got to give the people a little bit of what they
just
want.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Then we get the finish. The finish is again, oh really God, quick wait. This way.
I forgot about this one part. Okay. At one point, so he does like an arm wringer and then he starts clubbing on the shoulders.
Yep.
And somehow Valentine's, he then just whips Valentine's into the ropes and on the rebound of it does what might honestly be the worst back body drop I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was really ugly. You're right. Also,
it was really bad.
Say Greg's last name.
Valentine.
Okay. You were doing some Valentine's for a while.
Listen, man, I don't know what you want me to tell you, okay? I do what I do. I'm saying it right. The Red Sox manager used to be Bobby Valentine.
Hey, for a while there, you were doing the times of the Valens, you know?
Nah. I think you're the one that's mishearing me.
Well, I am old, so that tracks. The finish here.
Throw yourself under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, just dive in front, baby. Regina George. Valentine is going to go for a figure four. Norris pushes him off, kicks him directly into Akbar on the apron. I almost called him Moa Deep. Norris rolls up Valentine for the three. I did not expect to see Ahmed Johnson win with a roll up.
I didn't either. But also at this rate, I could not tell you what his finisher even is because it's not the cool one yet.
It's not the Pro River Plunge yet, which is dope. And I'm very excited to talk about it.
I called it by like three different names in all my notes. Every time I saw it, it was a new name.
That sounds right. After the match, Valentine elbows Akbar and gets rid of him as his manager too. And Black Bart comes out and also helps to stomp out Akbar. He's being left in the dust by everybody in NWA Dallas.
Has there ever been anything more random than some dude named Black Bart coming out dressed as Indie Undertaker to beat the shit out of General Akbar?
No. And honestly, that's the thing I love about like going and watching independent wrestling is just the weird mix of like where people are in their career and like the people who will go and never really go farther than that, right? And yeah. There's somebody who's going to be in the comments being like, Black Bart was a staple of Texas wrestling. And I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Like,
look,
my apologies.
Man, I'm just going to tell you right now, no, he wasn't.
But
no, he wasn't.
Have you played Fire Pro Wrestling?
I've seen clips on it, but I haven't played it personally.
So they have like the promoter mode, and I love it. I love it. You start with a very bare bones roster. You can pick.
Oh, is Black Bart in it?
Yeah, probably. I have all the like rosters downloaded for like, you know, classic ECW all the way through modern WWE and NXT. And then you can choose what rosters you want in the game and who you can have. And you have to build a promotion over time and sign guys and scout people, try to pull people away from other things. But for a while, you're just an indie fed and you're like trying to just bring people in. Because I remember one time my biggest accomplishment was I was like, all right, I need a big name to come in to challenge for my title. And I was like, hell yeah, on the same card, I have Jason Jordan and Gangrel. Let's go. I was hyped. It's over the moon.
My boy said, I got a fucking producer with a bum neck and 50-year-old Gangrel.
And I drew. I absolutely drew.
I want to know who's watch. Actually, I'd watch. If Jason Jordan came back, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah, I'd be hyped. Good for Kurt Angle's kid. Hate that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we are looking at the birth of Ahmed Johnson. Back from the break, he would be signed to the WWF in 1995. He did a couple appearances as Tony Norris, but then he debuted at In Your House 3 on September 24th, 1995 as Ahmed Johnson. He then had a couple of feuds. He had a, like, they really pushed him. They thought they had a big thing in him. And you can see why. Very charismatic guy. Excellent look. Perfect for this era of WWF.
Yeah. 100%.
He made his pay-per-view debut at Survivor Series, a classic place to have your first debut. You know, you can kind of get hidden in the match. He was on the surviving team, I believe, as part of a team with Razor Ramon, Yokozuna, Owen Hart, and Dean Douglas.
That is such a random group of people.
Oh, so no, sorry. That was the team he was against. He was on a team with Sid, British Bulldog, and Shawn Michaels. That's pretty good. That's a pretty solid roster.
You know what? That tracks. That's fine.
His first major challenge for gold was against a guy who loves gold. We're looking at King of the Ring 1996, an Intercontinental Championship match versus Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Goldust.
I was definitely uncomfortable with this. It's just, look, so the clip starts, Goldust comes down. Goldust is fine. Goldust is not what made me uncomfortable. It's fucking Pride Month. Goldust is definitely bordering on all sorts of, you know.
Goldust was genuine, like, they didn't realize that they were doing a good job with Goldust. I don't know if they knew they were doing a good job. There were some things they didn't do well with Goldust, for sure.
Yeah.
And you
hope the Marlena abuse thing.
Yeah. You hope that WWE gets better with LGBTQ representation, obviously, because they have a lot of room to grow in that area. But that's not what was the thing that you didn't like?
So, like, it's definitely just the fact that Ahmed Johnson is the baby faced and is justified for just doing homophobic shit.
Yeah. It's not fucking cool. It's really not cool. So the big problem is that Ahmed Johnson was had passed out or something, and CPR was administered by Goldust, and he apparently didn't need CPR. And so Ahmed Johnson was pissed for a month about it. That was his whole motivation. That and the Intercontinental Championship, which was really secondary.
Which is fucking weird, by the way, because this is a time where the Intercontinental Championship still means something.
Which, you know, shout out to Gunter for making it mean something again. It's pretty good. Yeah,
we love you, Gunter.
We do. So this is also the era of King of the Ring having the doors, right? Like, yeah. That, you know, block the part and then just surprise, peekaboo, it's your favorite wrestler. Ahmed Johnson does not wait for the doors to get opened.
No.
He fucking runs over some squires.
Bro, he sprints down, immediately tackles Goldust before absolutely, like, you can see him running his mouth, and you just know he's saying some homophobic shit. He is dropping bars for the folks out there who do not support the people we celebrate on the month of June.
Yeah. Also, hey, you know what? We'll do, like, just because we haven't done so well, we're going to put some cool links in the YouTube description and in the podcast description of, like, actual LGBTQ like places you should donate, like the Trevor Project.
Yes,
you should go do that, and we'll donate
to that. That'd be awesome, because we support everyone.
Yeah,
who,
and if you don't, this isn't the podcast for you. Go away.
Yeah,
go away. All right,
or just quietly stay. I can't really do anything about that.
Get gone now.
Yeah, get gone.
Get. He has a clothesline that turns Goldust inside out at one point. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
That's
hilarious, by the way.
And then he follows up with a move that, if you ask me, hey, what are some moves you're going to see in an Ahmed Johnson episode? I would have had clothesline, Pro River Plunge, you know, some, like, a lot of good strikes, maybe a top rope, like, axe handle. What does he do?
He does the fucking Roman Reigns dive to the outside.
And here's the thing. He does not have the vert that Roman does.
No. So
it's
no.
Close.
And I know what everyone's thinking. Oh, The Undertaker did it. The Undertaker did it. Drew McIntyre does it. No, I'm talking, it's literally like bar for bar, the Roman Reigns dive. Yeah. It's just like Wild Man throws himself out of control, does the arm spreading thing.
Yeah, it's not pretty, because he's close to missing.
He fucking lands like he's Ralph Wiggum.
I'm in danger.
By the way, I didn't look this up, but I know for a damn sure that brother missed his next appearance.
Yeah, it was not good.
He's hurt. He hurt himself on that spot.
So he has control for a while. He runs Goldust in the steel steps, chucks them at him, but he misses because Goldust ducks.
Yeah.
Johnson then misses a splash in the corner, ends up on the outside, and that's when Goldust gets control again. And I got to say, Goldust and Dustin Rhodes in his bag right now. Like, the character works fantastic. It's a weird character, and they didn't really know how to handle it. But in terms of his in-ring, he's not as good as he would be as he got older, but he's still really good right now.
But as far, like, at this point, he's not really the comedy character that he would become.
No. Yeah.
He's just really doing what he does and knowing that it'll draw heat, and he is just freaking hamming it all the way up as far as just the homoeroticism and the sensual rubbing and all this other stuff. And it's, listen, I respect it. He's just a weird dude who likes touching things in very weird ways.
You should get consent. Fine. You should get consent if you're touching people, but also this is a wrestling match. It's a very weird context area.
It's a gray area for sure.
He gets some kitty punches in the corner, rakes the eyes in the ropes. He does some suggestive touches of the posterior before doing a headlock. Tried to come up with the best phrasing for it. He was touching on his ass, but I think I found it.
Suggestive touching of his posterior.
Of the posterior. What's your favorite term for the butt? What's your favorite slang for it?
I like clappers.
Jesus Christ. That was nowhere on my board. If there was a big board of what's Javier about to say, clappers was like, it's like trying to say that the fucking Twins are going to win the World Series. Like, it was so far down there. You'd have to scroll.
Why the Twins specifically? That's fucked up.
I don't know.
The Twins catching a stray when they're pretty decent this year.
I don't know. Poor Twins.
It's the Athletics, man. That's the team you throw under the bus.
The A's suck. Goldust wants a sunset flip. Amon sends his ground. Goldie gets some rights to get the advantage again. Amon is down. Goldust is lifting, like, he's trying to get him up for a count. It gets a shoulder up. He does, like, the slither thing, too. Like, Goldust does, like, the slither up on him thing, too. Also,
my favorite.
You go ahead.
My favorite part of this match. So, Goldust, it's a power driver. Yep. And then does, like, a sensual pin, like you're mentioning here. And so he's on top of Ahmed Johnson, but the ref isn't counting. And after, so it's a near fall. And after all that, Owen Hart is on commentary for whatever fucking reason. And he is absolutely pissed with the ref.
He's furious.
He's not upset about the way that Goldust did the pin. He's like, you know what? Don't give a fuck about that. The ref should have been counting sooner, though. He would have won this match if it wasn't for this fucking ref.
Yeah, it's awful. Now, I do never want to hear Owen Hart say the word fondled again. Because he says it, I want to say four times in a 20-second span.
Yeah, it's weird.
JR also says it twice. And I was like, no. Like, I don't know. It just feels off.
Let's say grabbing. Let's say fucking... What's another fondle? So at least get a thesaurus.
Let's talk about the finish, because that's really where we want to go from here. Goldust has... Oh, you got something else before that?
Ahmed Johnson at one point misses a dropkick and then grabs at his hamstring. I was genuinely believing that he fucked up his hamstring.
So we get a sleeper by Goldust on Ahmed Johnson's back. He wears Johnson down to the point where he needs CPR. Sound familiar? Ahmed then gets up and unloads with right hands, meaning that Goldust CPR is not only able to bring you back to life, it gives you powers.
Then it's like the star in Mario.
Yeah. We get a big spine buster by Johnson. Then we get the Pearl River Plunge, which is a Tiger Driver.
I call it the Tiger Driver 97 Tiger Driver. This time.
He wins the title. Ahmed Johnson is the Intercontinental Champion. It would be his only official title run in the WWF because he also won a tournament.
Really?
Do you know the tournament that he won?
He wasn't King of the Ring. It wasn't the Brawl for All. There was another tournament? It's not the Deadly Games?
No, it was a one-off tournament held during a five-day house show tour called the Kuwait International Tournament. He won the Kuwait Cup in 1996.
Is this like Braun Strowman's title for winning that Royal Rumble that one time?
A little bit, yeah. If you're wondering about his path to the championship, let me tell you, because you're going to be stunned. First round, Aldo Montoya, a.k.a. Just Incredible. That's fine. Second round.
I'm sorry, what the fuck was Just Incredible's name?
Oh, you don't know of Aldo Montoya, the Portuguese man of war?
No.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we haven't talked about the Portuguese man of war. We're going to have to do a Just Incredible episode soon and dive all into that, because that's fantastic.
Portugal, so, the man over here, fucking yeah. Getting rocked by Ahmed Johnson.
Listen to these next three competitors that he beat. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I'm sorry, you said fucking what? What year is this?
1996. He beat Aldo Montoya, then Stone Cold, then Owen Hart, then Triple H. That was the finals. Shout out to my boy Ahmed Johnson.
Was he taking his Prozac?
We'll get to that in a minute. So a little bit about what happens next for Ahmed Johnson. They started teaming him with Shawn Michaels because they had him primed to go to the main event. They wanted him and Michaels as like IC champion and world champion to, you know, get over.
I could not think of two more different people.
During a match, this is on July 22nd Raw, Michaels and Johnson were teaming up against the Smoking Guns, and Farouk debuted and attacked Ahmed Johnson. They were supposed to have a match at SummerSlam for the IC title. On the August 5th edition of Raw, Ahmed Johnson won an 11-man battle royal, and he was supposed to... he eliminated Goldust last, and he's supposed to be a title shot for the WWF Championship, but Johnson was diagnosed with kidney problems and was forced to miss both SummerSlam and his scheduled WWF Championship match. They kept the angle going by saying that Farouk caused the kidney damage, and then only returned at the Royal Rumble, where he finally had that face-to-face with Farouk.
And he hits him with the worst 2x4 shots I've ever seen in my life.
After that, there's a promo that we're going to talk about, where he's cutting a promo after having had his confrontation with Farouk at the Rumble.
So he's cutting the promo on the night that he's about to team with the fucking Undertaker.
Yep.
Against Mankind. Is it Mankind and Farouk?
Yes. Ahmed Johnson is over. Over. So yeah. Over.
That he's teaming with the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Is this the weirdest partner the Undertaker's ever had?
Yeah, probably.
Because it's not Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, because at least there was some sort of connection there.
Nathan Jones.
Well, yeah. But no, because the match never happened.
Yeah, that's true. Who are Undertaker's weirdest partners?
It's gotta be Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah, probably. So Johnson had come out during the Rumble. He hit Farouk with a 2x4. Like you said, not a good shot. Didn't go. What'd you think of this promo from our guy Ahmed?
This was an electric factory right here. Absolutely. Like, this was insane.
I'm sold.
I was ready to put the world title on him after this.
And that's what they wanted. They wanted to get him up to the main event level. And because they're like, he has so much charisma. Here's the thing. It's 1996. We covered Sid. It doesn't fucking matter if you can put on a banger. Yeah. Who cares?
As long as the people are behind you and you can like cut some freaking exciting promos, that's all they care about. He tells Vince, you ain't seen nothing yet, and it's just the beginning. I don't know what it's the beginning of, but it's the beginning. Then JR says something to him. He tells JR he's got something in store for everybody, even him and Vince.
Yeah, he's weirdly confrontational with JR and Vince.
He's like, because I don't take my Prozac anymore. And when I get off Prozac, you don't know what might happen.
Now, a fantastic line. Definitely one that was not written for him.
Oh.
I don't know how. I sat in awe for about 2 minutes after that line read.
You sent me a clip of it. You were like trying to turn it into a meme, but it's like such a unique thing that I don't even know how you get a meme out of it. Like, I think within itself, it is a meme.
It was just such a weird thing that I was like, I don't know. I don't know. This is such a unique, everyone needs to just go listen to it, because you'll just be stunned like I was.
And then they mentioned Savio Vega, who I guess is joined up with Farouk, because yes. The Nation of Domination isn't a thing yet, right?
The Nation of Domination is technically a thing.
but it's not like officially called like the Nation. They're just together as a collective, yet they haven't come out as the Nation.
No. The Nation is a thing. It's just that Savio has just joined the Nation. Savio wasn't like, okay. the first part of the Nation. If you look at the members of the Nation, Savio joins a little later, but the Nation's already existed as Farouk, Clarence Mason, JC Ice, Wolfie D, Crush, and D'Lo Brown.
It's such a fucking random. You know what? And then so they mentioned Savio Vega, who has just joined the Nation, and he goes, Savio, you want to join him? Join him! But I promise you, we'll pay with all the rest.
I believe every single word that Ahmed Johnson said, including that he had a special thing for JR and Vince. Like, I bet he waited for them to come backstage and hit him with a 2x4 weekly. I bet. All right.
Oh, you don't put the title on me yet, Vince. I got a knuckle sandwich for your bitch ass. Because apparently, yeah, what is this? A cowardly command is what Vince McMahon's got.
Respond to cowardly commands. Luckily, you probably love Vince because Vince is just up for the weirder shit. All right. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we are looking at a Chicago street fight. Back from the break, we are at WrestleMania 13, and we are covering a Chicago street fight. It's Ahmed Johnson teaming with the Road Warriors, Animal and Hawk, against the Nation of Domination, in this case represented by Farouk, Savio Vega, and Crush. A fun fact, this is a duplication. We have covered this match before.
We've covered this match before?
This was in the Farouk episode.
I do not remember. I have zero recollection for this match. I was watching this like I'd never seen it before.
This was in the Farouk episode. For context, I wrote the notes for the Farouk episode in January of 2020.
Fuck.
So it's been a bit. No wonder we forgot. This Resonation nomination is not the one that people think of. People think of the next iteration of the Nation.
All right. Well, here's my issue with this version of the Nation of Domination. So they get into the ring.
Yep.
And Evan, aside, we're just gonna put Crush to the side for now. Okay. We're just gonna put Crush to the side. Why is a white man speaking for the brothers?
Oh, because JC Ice and Wolfie D are the ones who are rapping to the ring.
Why is a white man speaking for the brothers?
I mean, I'm not going to engage with whatever you're talking about. It's just weird. It's just weird. It's very weird.
It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Because it's not even... Listen, rapping to the ring, they could get rapped to the ring by the fucking Beastie Boys for all I care. But once they get into the ring and they start spitting knowledge, it can't be a goddamn white man doing it. It just can't be. This is a group of brothers and Crush.
Yeah, I think they had... Like, so the initial version of Nation of Domination was meant to essentially be a more of a, and I'm just taking things directly from the Wikipedia, a street gang, but also influenced by the Nation of Islam. But none of that really tracks with why you would have Wolfie and JC be
no white man in the Nation of Islam. That was specifically what they were against.
So I don't understand why D'Lo Brown's in a tuxedo. That is also my question.
Why is Reverend fucking D'Lo out here?
Where's his chest protector? That makes me feel safe when I see D'Lo with his chest protector. That feels like, right.
It's like the little binky that you used to sleep with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I need my nightlight and I need D'Lo Brown chest protector.
And then you just suck your thumb to bed.
There's a PlayStation blimp inside the arena.
I'm sorry, you said I didn't even notice that.
You didn't. They had a whole conversation about it. There was a legit blimp in the Rosemont Horizon just floating around, and it was advertising the PlayStation 1. Yeah, that's how old this is. And it's funny.
I just realized the PS1 is older than me, and we had one.
Here's the thing. Is I saw it. I saw that happening, and I was like, oh. Graphics, like how they have all the weird graphics they do nowadays. I'm like, oh, it's just a graph. I've been so desensitized to them. I was like, wait, no, they didn't have that power in this. They couldn't do that. So this is a real. This is 1997. They couldn't do that.
Things are still on tape delay. Probably
didn't exist. Ahmed Johnson comes out with the Road Warriors / Legion of Doom, whatever you want to call them. He has his own shoulder pads. He's so over. It's crazy,
bro. They brought out a literal kitchen sink.
That's so funny.
That it's do you so understand? Funny. How much of a flex it is when the saying goes, they brought everything short of the kitchen sink. And they brought fucking kitchen sink.
It's pretty good. Now, there's a lot of chaos in this match.
Yeah, oh my God. We are not going to be able to go note for note here.
But I want to talk about some of my favorite moments that happened in the match. We're not going to do these necessarily in order, but I want to talk about Ahmed Johnson specifically. And that's really, really early. So there's some press slams that they do to JC and Wolfie D and D'Lo. And then they all kind of pair off and go out and start wrestling. And Ahmed Johnson tosses Crush over the barricade into the crowd. Yeah. And then decides, hey, you know what me, a big 300-pound man, should do? Is a somersault plancha into the crowd. That's what I should do on WrestleMania.
I mean, listen, when else are you going to do it?
It's not bad. It's actually not bad. When are you going to do it?
It's WrestleMania. You got to bust out everything. This is when you empty the bag.
I mean, I get that. And then he tosses Crush back over the barricade and then just dives headfirst over the barricade at him.
Yeah. He did the Ilya Dragunov fucking Russian missile or whatever the hell he calls it.
Shout out to Ilya Dragunov for being so good at wrestling.
Oh my God. A fucking amazing match. What is it? Last man standing match he had with Dominik Dijak. So good.
Another one that I liked, and I remembered this from when we covered this the first time, is that at one point, Hawk swings a 2x4 at Savio Vega and misses and bounces it off the ropes and catches it in the air. And
it, I was like, it shoots up like 10, 15 feet up in the air and then he just catches so good. It.
It was so good.
And I know he didn't do it on purpose, but the drip, the stilo, the everything about it, it was so smooth.
It was so very smooth. It reminded me of when Roman caught the mic from Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, honestly, it bought Roman an extra 200 days as champion. I'm going to be honest. That one move, I was like, fuck, yeah, he can be champion for a couple more months.
Yeah, he didn't get it with Cody, but you know what? I'll give him through SummerSlam. The mic catch alone.
The mic catch is worth it. I get it. That's okay. Also, for those of you watching on YouTube, all of a sudden it got very dark in my neck of the woods. So,
oh, did it?
Yeah. Right. Storms are coming.
Oh, and first off, your neck of the woods has screwed us over here as far as air quality goes. There's apparently this big ass fire that happened over in Canada. And because of that, I guess a lot of the wind brought it like downward, not the fire itself, but like the air pollution from the smoke and shit came down. It's cloudy as fuck in Boston, but I'm not cloudy. It's hazy as fuck in Boston.
I'm gonna say when you say my neck of the woods, I know you're just lumping me with all of Canada, but I'm just gonna say the locations and then let anyone who knows Canadian geography make fun of you. Those wildfires are in Nova Scotia. I live in Northern Ontario, so I'm not gonna say what that means. But I am going to let anyone who knows Canadian geography make fun of Javier.
Now, one is northeast of fucking Maine. The other one is in fucking North Bumfuck.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Can we talk about the tiny table that Animal and Farouk are on?
Oh my God, bro. I was like, is this the table they used in WLC? What the fuck is this?
So I have been on record when we covered some matches from Japan of loving the tiny announce tables that they use that are just like not even the regular size folding tables, but like one size down. For some reason, the French announce table at ringside is the smallest, le petit tableau. Like it's such a small table.
Is it the escargot?
Jesus Christ. And Animal Farouk are on the tiny table. It's a tiny desk concert. Animal then does the worst pile driver I've ever seen.
Oh my God. He fucking falls off the table before Farouk even hits it.
It's like, awful. He's literally
falling off to the side before Farouk even lands. Like, is even in position to land. Like, it's so bad. It's the worst pile driver I have ever seen.
I've seen
a shit ton of fucking pile drivers, Evan.
Yeah.
Just on doing this goddamn podcast alone, I've seen a shit ton of pile drivers. And that's not even counting all the independent stuff I watch. That's not even counting all the WWEF stuff I've seen on my own. That's not counting WCW stuff. That's not counting just fucking random offhanded wrestling clips that I find on the internet. This is the worst pile driver ever.
Period. I want to know other things you liked, other spots you want to talk about.
oh my God, there was a nightstick at one point. And so Hawk is beating Savio with a nightstick.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you just hear, you just randomly see a massive puff of smoke just appear off to the right. Yeah. And the camera cuts. And you just see Farouk just coughing. Apparently, I think his animal just fucking unloaded on him with a fire extinguisher.
Have you ever sprayed a fire extinguisher?
No. Disappointingly so.
It's fun. Like, it's really fun. We had to do some training.
Is there just like a power that you get from it? You just feel like you're superior in some sort of way?
Yeah. When I worked for my university and I did, I was working as an RA, right? One of the things they train everybody on is how to use the fire extinguisher. And remember, they were like, we need a volunteer to try it first. And I was like, me.
Everyone's hand shot up.
No, nobody's hand shot up.
There's no fucking
way. It was me and one other guy. And so we were like, we'll go first.
Canada.
I don't know, man.
And you got fires. You don't want to put them out. What's going on here?
They were like, okay, and you pull the thing, and you aim, and you squeeze, and you do like that. And man, it's so fun. It's so fun. And obviously, okay, fires are bad. We all know these things. But the fire extinguisher itself was so fun. But then I think about it, because they were like, don't like get in the smoke. Like it's not actually smoke. It's like obviously like a cooling agent or whatever. But it's not good for your lungs and all this stuff. And then you
Evan,
just walk
here. What is in a fire extinguisher?
Ice. They were like, yeah, don't use it. And then here I am watching this, and I'm like, there are children in the front row just getting fire extinguished.
Bro, the funny shit is, it's not the only time it happens. It happens multiple times. Like, they let that fire extinguisher go off like four different occasions. Like, genuinely, it's crazy.
I got to find out what's in a fire extinguisher, what's it actually called.
I just like broke your brain with that, didn't I?
Solutions of water and potassium acetate, potassium carbonate, potassium citrate, or a combination of the chemicals. So
yeah,
ice.
It's like
got it.
Okay, it's not ice. It's ice. It's like creamy, man. Like how is that ice? I know. So at one point here,
sorry. Google auto completed the rest of what is in A. And I just need to tell you what other people are looking to find what is inside these things.
Oh, is this like the Google the Google search for celebrities?
Yeah, it's like, what's in a cigarette, what's in a vape, and what's in a California roll? Priorities.
Two things terrible for your health and then a vape.
Don't smoke it. It's bad for
Don't smoke. It's bad. I'm joking. California rolls are delicious.
All right, what else do you want to talk about here?
So at some point, people just start no-selling. And it trash can shots, yep. Trash can lid shots. There's a nightstick. No one cares about it. No one cares about the 2x4 at some point here. Just no selling all over the place until a fucking noose shows up.
This is why I'm surprised you didn't remember this episode or this match, because we lost our mind at the noose being included.
Why the fuck was there a noose, and why is Ahmed Johnson getting pulled by it?
So Ahmed Johnson gets the noose put around his neck and then is in the ring. Savio Vega is on the outside trying to choke him out with it. He gets stuck in it for a while. At one point, D'Lo is like pulling on it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. Hawk gets pulled up or strung up with the noose. And again, we are, 2 years away from Big Boss Man being hung at WrestleMania? So
well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet as a collective. One of my favorite things. So at one point, Ahmed Johnson's getting held back by two small white dudes. And I can say they're small because Ahmed Johnson's 6'2", and these guys look like they're fucking 5'8".
Yeah.
Like, at best. So he does that. And the whole intent is Farouk is about to blast him with a trash can. So what he does is he kicks the trash can back into Farouk, rocks the short white dudes, grabs the trash can, and starts rocking Farouk with it. Then he grabs Farouk and slams him through the announce table. The baby one.
The baby announce table is broken. Le petit tableau. Let's talk about the finish, because this is just all...
Did you just say le petit... did you just say the small bro?
Le petit tableau. The tiny table.
Tableau, like the program that you could use?
Sure. Let's talk about the finish, because it's a weird finish for such a car crash of a match. It's literally the doomsday device to crush, and then Ahmed Johnson and Hawk, like, grab one side of a 2x4 each and just clothesline crush with it, and that's the finish.
Yeah.
I honestly, this is the recommendation this week. Go watch this match. It's insane.
Oh, my God. So, after the match, there's like the brawl just happens. Like they just keep brawling. Johnson hits a spine buster on D'Lo Brown, then follows that up with a Pearl River plunge. Then they find the two short white dudes. Ahmed Johnson lifts one up. The other one gets picked up by Animal. Hawk goes up, hits a dual doomsday device to both men.
Fantastic stuff. In June, Ahmed Johnson would turn. He'd turn heel on WWF champion The Undertaker and align himself with the New Nation. He would be a part of the team with Farooq, D'Lo, and Kama Mustafa, but then he was injured soon after this. He was scheduled to face Undertaker at Canadian Stampede for the WWF Championship, but was replaced by Vader after his injury. So again, they had high aspirations for him, but injuries keep getting in the way. The Nation turned on him when he returned in August 97, replacing him with Rocky Maivia, a guy who we've never heard of since. He then restarted his feud with the Nation.
Reunited, I heard he was Hobbs.
Exactly. Reunited with Legion of Doom. And then we get into the point where it talks about his leaving of WWF. And so I'm going to read directly from the Wikipedia. This is how he describes his departure from WWF. They were in Texas. He was booked to appear in a segment with the Truth Commission, Don Callis's group, the predecessor to Kurgan being in The Oddities. He was supposed to be beaten and dragged up the entrance ramp. Unbeknownst to WWF management, Johnson's sister, an avid fan of WWF, was battling cancer. Johnson knew his sister watched each week and didn't want her to have the image of her brother being beaten and dragged by the neck as she was so gravely ill. According to him, 15 minutes before he was scheduled to do the match, in which he would end with being attacked, he received a call that his sister was doing really bad and that he should come immediately to her hospital in Florida. Johnson then met with Vince and told him he had some things to deal with and immediately left WWF and flew to Florida, where his sister died, unfortunately, the following week.
Oh.
Now, he stated subsequently that he did not tell WWF management the reason for his departure because he didn't want to burden people with his problems and didn't want to give the impression that he was telling them something for sympathy. In a July 2021 interview, he also did state for the first time that racism within the company was another reason for his departure, saying, quote, "There was a family issue that needed my attention, but on top of that, there were other things going on behind scenes that didn't sit right with me. I started noticing a lot of racism going on. It called me not wanting to be there and back off." So,
I mean, listen,
yeah,
it's definitely got to be that New Nation feud with DX where things,
and that's the thing is that's the public facing things that we saw, right? Yeah. There's no understanding of what was going on behind the scenes. Also, I can totally understand both parts of his thing, not wanting to be portrayed that way when your sister is going through such a terrible thing. But also the idea of like not wanting to burden people with your problems. A reminder, talk to people.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Also, especially if you know you're going to have to take some time away from your employer to do so, like you don't have to give them all the intricate details, but just say, hey, like, there's some family issues going on right now. Like,
yeah.
Health reasons are involved. Like, you don't have to tell them straight up. Like, just say, hey, like, there's some family health issues going on right now. Like, I just need to take some time away.
He did resurface in late 1999 with WCW and debuted at Sold Out as a heel. He interfered in a match between Harlem Heat tag partners and real-life brothers Booker T and Stevie Ray. He attacked Booker, causing Stevie Ray to be disqualified, and called himself Big T and formed the tag team Harlem Heat 2000. He even had a match with Booker T over the rights to the letter T. They fought over a letter, and he won. So he became Booker, and he got to be Big T.
Yeah, I didn't want to put that match on here.
Would you fight somebody for your name?
No.
You just change your name?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll become like fucking Xavier or some shit.
That tracks. Yeah, that literally like, tracks.
Whatever, just change the first name or the first letter. Who cares?
That's like I'd become Kevin. I'd be like, I'm Kevin now. There you go. Easy solution, pal. We're good.
I was like, why are you Kevin? And then I realized, oh yeah, your name's Evan.
Yeah, no shit. So the match that we do have is a match from WCW Worldwide. It is Harlem Heat 2000 versus Disorderly Conduct, April 15th, 2000. I have one question, one question only. Who?
I don't know. I saw it and I was like, It's like, oh, he's part of the New Harlem Heat team. Let me just throw a random match of theirs in here. And I looked up. This was the first one I found from them, if I'm being honest with it.
And honestly, that's fair. I will say they didn't do a ton. Big T didn't do a ton in WCW. They had, like, they were in a tag tournament for the vacant world tag titles at one point. He had that match where he had the feud with Booker T, and they even had a tag match against Booker and a new tag partner, Billy Kidman. And, you know, he didn't really do a lot. So this is a pretty apt description and maybe the best way to look at his run in WCW. What did you think of the match?
I mean, it's a squash match. Who are we kidding? Like, it's absolutely a squash match. It's the featured bout of the episode of
the evening.
What, I don't know what the fuck show this is. Is this Thunder? What is this?
This is their equivalent of, like, Velocity. Or, like, Superstars is actually better. This is their version of Superstars.
So it's not Thunder. No. Okay. Anyways, so I have one question for you as well. Who the fuck is that big motherfucker with them?
The big guy with them is named Cash.
His name is Cash?
Cash. I don't remember.
That's a big boy.
He is a big boy.
He's like 6 feet tall because he's shorter than Ahmed Johnson. Or he's shorter than Big T, but he is like 3 feet wider.
I'm trying to remember. So Cash, Harlem.
That brother is thick. With 15 C's.
He was the bodyguard of the group. He was listed 6'3", 400 pounds.
It's not true. That's just unrealistic. He is shorter than Ahmed Johnson.
Well, you know, he also went by the nickname or the ring name 4x4 at one point.
I'm sorry, you said what now?
He's also worked as a bodyguard for Mike Tyson and 50 Cent.
You know what? I completely now respect this individual. He protected 50.
Speaking of big boys, Big T is a pretty big boy at this point. They're calling him about 350 instead of 300 pounds.
Listen, he's looking a little round around the edges, you know. I don't know.
He's doing all right. He doesn't really do much of this match. He gets a big kick and right hand, does a power slam and a scoop slam.
It's not just a kick. It's a pump kick.
It's a little pump kick.
Steve Gray was really good.
Yeah, it's disorderly conduct at one point. Gets like a double team and splashes onto T. And I was like, okay, and double DDT. I was like, all right, these jobbers getting a little shine.
And then Stevie Ray comes in, fucks dude up, tags himself in. He hits a pump kick. Big T hits another pump kick. Then they each hit a pump kick, like a tandem pump kick on one dude. Stevie does the heavy lifting on that pump kick because Big T phoned it in. He got like a foot off the ground, maybe. Yeah. He got that foot, like he might have kicked him in the shin, honestly. And then the fat motherfucker runs the dude into the post.
Cash.
That dude. And then Cash. What the fuck?
Cash.
I'm going to call him 4x4. 4x4 runs the dude into the post. And then they hit their finisher, which is just a tandem flapjack.
Yep. And Harlem Heat 2000 win. Ahmed Johnson would be released by WCW shortly afterwards. And it says on Wikipedia, who knows if this is the only reason, due to ongoing weight issues.
With no shit.
He stayed away from wrestling after his release until he wrestled a return match in Arlington, Texas for professional championship wrestling in 2002. Since retiring, he has worked at the Pro Wrestling Alliance school that Booker T and Stevie Ray run. So he's also worked there.
Did he have a match in like 2019 or something? Just like a random appearance? I swear I saw that on his Pro Fight DB. There's like a random like more recent appearance somewhere.
So on his profile and match listing, they don't have anything after his run in WCW. So his last recorded match is a three-way tag where he lost to General Rection and Major Stash.
I'm sorry, you said he lost to who?
General Rection. General
Hugie Rection?
Hugie Rection, yeah.
And who?
And Major Stash, a.k.a. Van Hammer.
I'm sorry, Van who?
Van Hammer.
Who the fuck is Van? Who are these people? I know Hugie Rection is that. It's Scott D'Amore, right?
No, it's Bill DeMott.
That's the one. Scott D'Amore is the Impact guy. I don't know why I was.
We have so much 90s and 80s wrestling to go through for you to see all these things.
You know what? I remember Major Guns. I remember that team because they also had G.I. Bro.
Yep.
Which is obviously Booker. The huge erection is the Scott DeMar, whatever.
Corporal Cajun?
I'm sorry, who?
Corporal Cajun. Lash LaRue.
Lash LaRue was in that group?
I believe so. I'm going to double check.
What is WCW, man?
Yeah, Corporal Cajun was Lash LaRue. Sergeant AWOL was The Wall. Lieutenant,
you know what?
Lieutenant Loco was Chavo Guerrero.
I'm sorry, Chavo was, you know what? I never want to hear anything about Orange Cassidy ever again.
Lieutenant Loco. All right, what did you think looking back on the career of Ahmed Johnson?
Honestly, like, more over than I thought he was heading into it, and like not as shit as I thought he was.
Yes, all of this improved my stock and my opinion of Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah,
all of
it went up not by much. Like I thought he was the drizzling shits. When honestly, he's like fine.
I didn't realize how over he was. I think it is like revisionist history to say he was anything but ready to be a main eventer. Like, based on what WWF wanted in main eventers at the time, he had everything they wanted. Great look, great physique, super over, charismatic. He was ready. If it wasn't for the injuries, I bet we're talking about Ahmed Johnson's one-time WWF champion. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Probably for like a month or two. Like, it's not going to be a substantial reign.
He manages
but
to get off Brett, or he's a babyface for like a,
you know, Sean onto someone.
Onto somebody else, yeah. Onto Sid.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Sure, works.
I didn't think he was that bad. I think if you want to watch an actual good match, watch the Goldust match. That would probably be my recommendation in terms of actual in-ring content. But I think everyone needs to experience the Chicago Street Fight if you haven't seen it. Also, just watch WrestleMania 13 from like the back half on, because it's awesome. This is the second last match of the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is the cool down from Bret Hart, Austin. Like, if you watch...
Oh, my God. This is a cool-down match.
A cool-down. Literally, if you watch, you can do the Owen Hart and Bulldog versus Mankind Invader, and then watch Bret and Austin have a classic, then watch this train wreck, and then watch Undertaker defeat Sid in a match that isn't as bad as we thought either.
Yeah, this is true.
WrestleMania 13 is not bad, man.
WrestleMania 13 might have something going for it. Let's not talk about the first half, though.
No. They had us in the first half. Not going to lie.
No, they didn't, actually. That's the complete opposite of that statement.
You should follow us on the social media. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Sauce the boy a follow.
Follow me as well at @7Gomes, @ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. If you're not already watching on YouTube, go to YouTube at Crossbody of Work. Hit subscribe, hit like on the videos. We recently just did another crossbody draft where we talked about the best wrestlers who have never been in WWE. Go and watch that and tell us about the better roster. And this coming week, our next episode of Crossbody Revisited, Wrestler Revisited, we're going to look at two more matches from the career of Trish Stratus.
Oh, I'm unstoppable.
She was our sixth ever episode. So we are very excited to dive back into somebody we haven't talked about, but who shows up in every other woman from the Attitude Era's podcast.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. It was a little tough finding some matches to cover
that we haven't already seen. So, but we managed to do it. We found two more matches. We're going to release that on Wednesday. Go to our YouTube at Crossbody of Work. Find us there. Go to fullpresswrestling.com to see all the links for the matches this week. Go to fullpressshop.com to cop the merch. Support the boys. Javier's got it on right now. The old Blockbuster T. Wherever you're listening, rate 5 stars. Subscribe to the podcast. It helps the boys out tremendously. Next week on the actual podcast, who are we going to cover? It's a guy I actually mentioned very briefly.
Yes,
we're
sir.
We're covering Billy Kidman.
We're covering the shooting star. I was going to say king, but let's be honest. The guy who does a shooting star, but he just does it.
We're going to have to officially rank our shooting star presses, I think, on that podcast.
That's attempts to do shooting star presses.
Some of them, they're good, except for some reason his gimmick for a while was about heroin, but we'll talk all about that.
I mean, so is his real life gimmick.
We'll talk all about that next week. It's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier. Know where the fuck your passport is at all times. I had the scare of my life the other day.
Okay.
Just for, you know what, full disclosure for the people, I'm taking a vacation next week.
You are?
Going on vacation. You're not going to notice because we're good fucking podcast hosts who, you know, do stuff in advance so that we have it prepared for you guys. But yes, I'm taking a vacation, going over to the motherland. Shout out to the Dominican Republic. Anyways, I went to go see my passport the other day just because I was like, oh, I'm going to need that in a few days.
Yeah.
So I may as well just find it. And I went and looked in the place that I thought it was in. Wasn't there.
Not there.
I had to tear down the entirety of my bedroom.
Okay.
My side, my girlfriend's side, everything got pulled out, looked through, everything. It was in a random, like my Nintendo Switch's box. The box for this fucking thing.
Oh, that's weird.
In between the boxes that are empty, mind you. I just have them for show. In between the boxes for games. I don't know why I put it there, Evan. But I put it there when I moved over here. And it's just been there this whole time. I never bothered to look for it. It took me... I had a panic attack. I had a breakdown. I was fucking literally crying. I was like, right. I have to go on vacation on Monday. And there's just no fucking way.
It's time for Evan's an older person. So here's Evan's life advice for a very similar thing. Get yourself... Yeah, okay, it doesn't have to be expensive. Get yourself a cheap filing cabinet. What you're going to do is you're going to make files for all the following things. Your passports and important information if you want to keep it in a certain thing. Do that. Your car information. All of the maintenance you do in your car, put it in the same thing. All your tax information goes in there. Any like rental agreements, you put a folder for those. Any job contracts, you put a folder for those. Instruction manuals or warranties. You put them for all of them in the same thing. And that way you know exactly where everything goes. Put it all in there. It takes an afternoon to sort everything out and put it all in there. But then everything from then on, you just know exactly where it goes. I could find you my passport in 13 seconds. I would know exactly where it is.
Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, Evan might be a fucking genius.
I'm just an old man, and I got so tired of losing my own shit and having – I had that exact thing you talked about at least thrice, and I didn't want to do it again. So just that –
I just gave it to my girlfriend. I put it amongst her things, and I let her – because she's very organized.
This is yours now.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually like that, but I'm glad – yes, you're going to be going to the motherland, so we're going to be recording early, but you'll get your content all the usual time. So Wednesday,
yes,
you'll be getting Wrestler Revisited as we talk about Trish Stratus, and as usual on Saturdays, both on YouTube and wherever you get your fine podcasts, we'll be talking about Billy Kidman.
Yeah, so when I come back in like a week and a half with a little bit of a tan, don't be surprised.
And I will remain the same. I mean, I'll try to go outside, just not nearly as much as you will in the motherland.
Well, I mean, how much of a tan are you getting in fucking northern Ontario?
We try. It's 1,000 fucking degrees right now because my apartment has no air conditioning.
It is literally 90-something degrees here.
Is it 98 degrees? Give me just one night.
Not 98. No, not that much. It's probably like 91.
More Nick Lachey references. Thank you for joining us this week on the podcast. We're back next week to talk about Billy
Kidman. I love Love is Blind.
I hate Love is Blind. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.